Good morning. We begin a new journey into the consciousness which poured forth this series of talks on prayer. And they were assembled into this book, The Altitude of Prayer. And I have one question for you. Are you ready to die today? Are you ready to die out of a personal sense of life and move into an impersonal spiritual life? If you haven't had a meditation before this, let's do so now. Father, let the words flowing forth lift up those who hear them. Let your spiritual blessing touch one and all. I am still. I am listening. I wait on you, Father, on your word. Okay, so chapter 1 of The Altitude of Prayer is True Prayer, the Source of Our Good. And he begins by explaining, the first time that a person ever came to me for healing and asked, "Will you pray for me?" was when I knew nothing about prayer except, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Let me therefore tell you what happened when that first person asked me to pray for him. I closed my eyes and said, "Father, you know that I do not know how to pray, so what is the next step?" Instantly, a voice came back and said, "Man cannot heal." And the whole responsibility dropped away from me. You see? That's the whole thing right there. He experienced a release. He heard a voice. He says, "I still did not feel that I was praying, and I still did not know how to pray. But you can see that I really was praying the very moment I acknowledged that I did not know how to pray." Paul prayed much the same prayer when he said, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." So, some people say that Paul came back as Joel. He wanted to correct a few things, and one was the statement that the world mind is enmity against God. He wanted to correct that. That's not true. The world mind is a term meaning nothingness. Anyway, to continue, if you have the feeling within you that you do not know how to pray, that you would not know what to pray for, you are praying. What does that mean? If you have the feeling that you don't know how to pray or what to pray for, you are praying. Very strange. I wrote in the margin, attitude is openness and receptivity. That word, receptivity and receptive and receive, keeps appearing over and over and over again in Scripture, in Infinite Way writings. The more that you can acknowledge, I do not know how to pray or what to pray for, I of mine own self have no wisdom that can reach God's grace, the more you bring yourself into an atmosphere of receptivity, where the Father can speak to you. And when the Father utters his voice, the earth melts. Well, let's say it like it is. When the Father utters his voice, some part of personal sense is dissolved. Now, I couldn't help but notice that this was the first time somebody asked him to pray, and instantly a voice came back and said, man cannot heal. Now, that tells me that Joel was advanced enough to hear the still small voice. So he must have made progress in another lifetime. And in his early days, before he started the Infinite Way, he was already practicing, though he didn't know he was. So you and I come along, and we think, and that's our problem, we think, well, I can do that. We close our eyes, we say the words, Father, I do not know how to pray or what to pray for. And no voice comes back. No, because we haven't taken the steps that he took. He had the ability, before he came here, to hear that still small voice. But then he realized other people don't. And so he had to backtrack and say, now what do I do when I do this? And then he was able to introduce it as a teaching called the Infinite Way. We come along and we pick up the books and the tapes and we're confused. It's not working. So, if we have that spirit of persistence, we'll come back to it until we understand and are able to practice. And then we too will hear the still small voice. No, not every time, but some. Regardless of how one prays, prayer never reaches God unless before the prayer a contact is actually made with God. Now that's a strange statement. Because we thought all the words we were speaking, all the truth we were knowing in our mind, was praying. Here he says we need to make contact with God before we pray. Well, then what is prayer? He's going to tell us. And I hope that you may hear it. Sincere though our prayers may be, they are worthless unless we have first made contact with God. Answered prayer is available to anyone with a deep enough desire, and I hope that's all of us, with a deep enough desire to discover the way of true prayer and to practice it. He says, I discovered that if I could sit in silent contemplation and meditation, knowing nothing about prayer that uses words or thoughts, great things took place, not only in my experience, but in the experience of those who sought my help. All right, so there's something going on here. It's like a ball bearing on the top of a cylinder, and it's rolling around and around and around, never quite drops in. That's what it feels like when you're reading this. Because he says he would sit in silent contemplation and meditation. And we think, oh, contemplation, yes. We take a scripture such as, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. And we sort of repeat that, contemplate that in our mind. And then, after doing that for a while, we're quiet. We stop thinking of that scripture. But then comes the thought, now what do I have to do at 10 o'clock? Oh yeah, that's right, I have an appointment down at the post office. But he says, silent contemplation, silent meditation. Knowing nothing about a prayer that uses words or thoughts. That should make you go back into your closet and say, what is silent contemplation? What is silent meditation? There's a secret there for you that have ears to hear. None of these prayers or silent meditations had anything to do with an appeal to God. They were an attempt to get within myself to a place. Okay, here's a clue. Are you ready? They were an attempt to get within myself to a place where I lost all awareness of myself or any other self, and became filled with an inner joy, an inner peace, an inner glow. Above all, it was an inner release from fear and concern. That's what he experienced that first time, an inner release from any responsibility, any feeling of a responsibility. So, it was an attempt to forget myself and any other self, and become filled with a peace, a glow. Above all, it was an inner release from fear and concern. As we study the subject of prayer deeply, we discover that nothing that we say to God or think about God ever reaches Him. The only thing that reaches God is a stillness and a silence into which God can flow. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the noises of the world. God is not in the mumbo-jumbo of your thoughts or words. God is in the still small voice. So, rightly understood, prayer is any attitude that opens us to receptivity to God's grace. Answered prayer comes only when there is an impartation from within to our awareness. Not when something goes out from us to God, but when something comes to us from God. All right, so prayer is an attitude that opens us to receptivity to God's grace. Now, that an attitude is not words. It's not thoughts. It's what? How would you explain an attitude? It's a posture that you take. It's a... well, you become receptivity. We were born children of God, showing forth the life of God, the eternality and immortality of God. We of ourselves are not good, we know that. We are but the instruments through which the good of the Father reaches the world. And we were born for the purpose of showing forth the beauty, the grace, and the love of God, not our own virtues. We were never born to bring forth children in pain, to live by sweat and toil, or by tears. We were born to be heirs of God, joint heirs to all the heavenly riches. Why, then, have we missed the way? Because from infancy we were weaned away from God by not being taught how to live consciously in God. And that word consciously is important. You say, well, in Him I live and move and have my being. That's just rote. Something that you went into your memory and stayed there. You must be conscious of living in God. You must be conscious of having your being in God. You must have the feeling of walking in the presence. Now, as the Master and many other spiritual teachers have revealed, we have to find our way back to conscious union with God. Conscious union. There could be no sin great enough to separate us from God. There could be no disaster, not even death, that could separate us from God, because a person cannot be separated from himself. One is one. And I and the Father constitute that one. You and the Father constitute that one, inseparable and indivisible. And what therefore God hath joined together, no man can put asunder. My very first teacher told me that. Okay. Joel is constantly in his writings and his talks, in his letters, saying, we have to create a vacuum inside. Now, that doesn't mean blotting out everything. Nope, that's not a vacuum. That's just forcing yourself to be quiet. There was a 15th or 16th century monk, I believe, or philosopher, that said, God abhors a vacuum. Can't abide a vacuum anywhere, large or small. All you have to do is become empty of self, and automatically you're filled with God. This is the kind of attitude, the kind of practice that brings the still small voice. And Joel says, no prayer that is uttered through the mind ever reaches the kingdom of God. When a person is advanced to the fourth dimensional consciousness, however, true prayer requires no words and no thoughts. The highest form of prayer is silence. The highest form of prayer is that vacuum. Because when you create it, but you don't create it, when you discover that vacuum inside, God fills it automatically. You don't have to ask, you don't have to petition, you don't have to bargain. You just enter the vacuum and listen. What a strange thing, huh? It's going to get worse. Once the spiritual center is opened, a person begins to receive, there's that word again, impartations in words, thoughts, or feelings from within, not made up in the head, but actually received through the still small voice. Now, I told you and have shared with you the experience I had, which was the very first time I heard the still small voice. I had been reading, practicing the presence, and I had been meditating and contemplating, and I went to bed. But I couldn't fall asleep right off. And I was in between being awake and being asleep, that in-between place. And I guess in that in-between place, there was a vacuum within me. And I heard a voice say, as I've told you before, I heard a voice say, God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And it was so wonderful, I jumped up and found my notebook. I used to have notebooks all over the place. And I opened it up and I wrote down those words. And eventually they found their way into my book. So, what does it mean? Well, it's the secret of prayer right there. God doesn't need your prayer. God's not waiting around for you to pray the right kind of prayer and then he'll give you supply or companionship or health. No, it really has nothing to do with God. The reason for prayer is so that I might remind myself to be still, to stop talking, stop thinking. and listen. Be receptive. And then God will is into the vacuum and into my life. And since God is harmony, fulfillment, that includes abundance, companionship, and health. That's how that spiritual blessing is translated. Now, he doesn't send you an automobile, but his grace appears as an automobile because that's what's needed at the moment. And that's a hard thing to explain, too. It's one of those, now you see me, now you don't. Stand up and sit down at the same time. All right, so getting back to this book, getting back to the consciousness that wrote it. Yes. Once the spiritual center is opened, a person begins to receive impartations, not made up in the head, but actually received through the still small voice from God, and it begins to impart itself to him. The very moment that we receive an impartation from within, whether it is only a feeling or whether it thunders in the silence, or comes as a very gentle whisper, we can be assured some part of the mundane earth is beginning to dissolve. Some problem is going to yield. Some discord or inharmony is going to be removed from our experience. In its place will come some grace from my kingdom. Remember always, my kingdom is not of this world. The blessing that we receive is always the blessing of my kingdom, a spiritual blessing. You might say that into that vacuum that you created, God pours its essence. That's the spiritual blessing. And then your mind goes to work and translates that essence into forms. My kingdom is a spiritual blessing, and we have no way at all of knowing what form it will take in this earthly experience. One thing is certain, however, it will come as a gift of God. My peace is not of this world. My peace is something that the human mind cannot grasp. Okay, so don't think about my peace, because you're not going to get it that way. My peace comes when? Well, he told us here. He said, when you have that vacuum, it becomes filled with an inner peace. When you go within and lose awareness of yourself or any other self and stand stock still, you are filled with my peace. That's the way you get it, not by thinking. It is only when we attain some measure of the mind which was in Christ Jesus that we know that peace. Probably, none of us will receive the fullness of that mind. But, in the measure that we receive it, we receive spiritual peace and begin to enjoy my kingdom. The spiritual grace of God and the blessings that only God can bestow. Every individual will find them taking the form necessary to his experience at the moment. That's the wonder of it, the miracle of it. With every word of truth that we take into our consciousness, we are building a temple of consciousness. Yes, this is the temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the temple not made by mouth, not made by mind. Consciousness. Every sermon, every lesson we receive, every hour devoted to the study of spiritual literature, or every hour in the company of the spiritually illumined, is a step in the building of that consciousness. Temple not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. Now here's the sentence that you won't like very much. Unless we are continually submitting ourselves to God, the building of this fourth dimensional or spiritual consciousness cannot take place. So, you have to continually submit yourself to God or surrender to God. Otherwise, that consciousness cannot be built. It's not built with your thinking. It's not built with your speaking. When you submit, surrender to God, you are empty of self. We come back in a circle. Silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. So I can be sitting in my chair with the air conditioner on just a couple of feet from my ear, and I can be meditating. Because for a second or a half a minute, I have an absence of self. And that's the vacuum. And into the vacuum, God pours the fourth dimensional consciousness. We are acknowledging that in our human way we have faults, but that none of these is to interfere with what must become the main theme of our life. I must know God aright. There's a couple of musts in there. Don't tell me there's no musts. I must know God aright. I cannot finish this life without knowing God, because I cannot finish this life without fulfilling whatever purpose God had for me in the beginning. Okay, so before you came here, God had a purpose for you. But you won't find it by taking an aptitude test. You'll only find it by finding that vacuum within and then listening. You're not going to like this next part either, but it needs to be said. No one gets anything more out of life than he contributes to it. Not that part, the part after that. And if he is not making some contribution to the whole globe, not just to himself or his family, all he is ever going to receive from life is the little bit of living he is getting. Really, to live means to contribute, To live means to add something to the sum total of the good in the world. And I truly hope I am doing that with these talks. Here's the part you won't like. Prayer is a listening attitude. Let your prayer be, Father, reveal thyself, then open those ears to hear that still small voice, until eventually the way is open through which it can be heard. When you reach the fourth dimensional consciousness, your prayers are without words or thoughts. And that one hit me like a Cupid arrow, just boing, right in the forehead and in the heart. And I saw, you pray not with your mouth. You pray not with your mind. You pray with your ears, your inner ear. Think of that when you sit down to meditate. I can't use my mouth, I can't use my mind. I have to pray with my ears. And see what happens. The moment you are in the depth of prayer, there are no more words. Prayer is the ability to receive instruction from the Father within. Keep your ear always open, as if you were listening for an inner voice. How many times has he said that? Keep your ear ever always open. Keep your ear always open, your inner ear. So, we pray not with our mouths, not with words. We pray not with our minds, not with thoughts. We pray with our ears in an attitude of listening, of submitting, of surrendering, waiting, beholding. And into that silence, that stillness, into that vacuum, God pours itself. Not a little bit, not a tiny little toe. All of it. The entire infinite eternal presence. Infinite eternal omnipresence. He pours it into you. Now you can't come into the awareness of all of that at once. It would be too frightening, probably. But maybe not. So you're given almost spoonfuls, maybe shovelfuls, until you can advance and accept a swimming pool full. Until you can advance and accept a town full, a country full, a nation full, a planet full, a universe full, omnipresence full. Several words here, huh? Receive, consciously become aware, vacuum, peace, listening, praying with your ears, the still small voice, the thunder of silence. When you live from that standpoint, no matter what you are doing out here with the mind or the body, you will find that you are always on the receiving end of instruction, protection, supply, or grace. His grace is your sufficiency in all things. There's never any need for you to have anything else from God, just His grace. Spiritual power comes into your experience when you understand the true meaning of prayer. What is it now? We pray with our ears. As a person, you have no spiritual power of your own. You are but the transparency, the instrument through which the power of God flows to the world and to the people of the world. So when you create that vacuum and spiritual blessing pours in, it also pours through. Only in the degree in which a person can unite himself with the source of life, the creative principle of this universe, only in that degree can healing power, comforting power, supplying power flow through his consciousness. Keep the Word of God in your mouth, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, and then pray, Father, you take over. I am going to rest in your arms, I in you, and you in me. Now, a couple of other things. I was looking through some old books and I found this Infinite Way letter from June of 2006. A couple of things struck me. I wasn't looking for this letter, but it fell out of something and I picked it up and here it was. This is a paragraph from The Infinite Way. Spiritual illumination reveals that we are not mortals, not even humans, but that we are pure spiritual beings, divine consciousness. And again, he says, I can find it again. He says, as human beings, none of us have God. That's what makes us human beings, is that we are cut off from God. The moment we begin to have God contact, in that degree, we are no longer human beings. We are pure spiritual being. All right, so what does that mean? Well, I'll give you a clue here. We're going to move over here to a really nice quotation of Paul. Which, remember, many think that Paul came back as Joel. Paul says, you are not in the flesh. That's a personal sense of self. Let's put it in modern terms. You are not in a personal sense of self, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you meditate with words in your mouth and thoughts in your mind, you cannot reach the Spirit. You cannot reach the kingdom. You cannot reach God. You can bring yourself a little peace. And Joel has suggested that you do that until you come to the end of your thoughts on the subject. And when you get to the end of your thoughts on the subject, you sit still. I'm not giving you a technique here, I'm saying the attitudes. You sit still and you say something like, Father, reveal thyself. This morning I've been saying, let me pray with my ears. And I listen. Now, if you hear the still small voice say something like, God needs no prayer, you need prayer in order to let me function, that's fine, that's good. If you feel a presence, an omnipresence, that's wonderful. If you, in some other way, recognize the Spirit is upon you, then you have learned how to pray with your ears. Very strange, huh? We were taught to pray with our mouths. Turn on the evangelists. I have nothing against them. I see they do some good work. And they heal people and whatnot, if they're sincere. But turn and watch how they pray. Watch Pat Robertson or John Hagee and see how they pray. They use words. Then go to Unity, Christian Science, Science of Mind, and find out how they pray. They use thoughts. Somehow, some way, there was a miracle. Joel learned how to pray with his ears right from the beginning. Well, God, I don't know how to pray, so I'm going to be still. What's the next step? And in that split second, a voice said, man is not a healer, and he was released. And so was the fellow that asked him to pray, because they were of one consciousness. So here we have Paul telling us, if we are led by the Spirit, by hearing that still small voice, we are the sons of God, or the expression of God. And I think that they got this wrong. I think one of the interpreters was reading it, did not understand that there's only one Son, there's only one Christ, one consciousness. So he added that S, he read it, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God. And he thought, wait a minute, that's just not right. So he put that S in there. The original said, or as Paul said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God, the manifestation of God. If you're living by that voice is flowing through you. You are the Son of God. You are God in expression. What about this human being out here, praying with his mouth and his mind, or her mouth and her mind? That's just a human being. And as Paul tells us, the human being does not come under God's grace. the human being is operating under the law. So, the mouth and the mind, the world mind, which is what your mind is, the human mind is, unless the voice of God, the still small voice, is operating it, that human mind is not under the law of God. It's under the law of karma. What you sow, you reap. And there's almost never a time that you're not sowing. Let me ask you this. When you're in that human mind, how often do you think of another self? Always. Come on, be honest. You go down a subway to get a sandwich. You look at some bikers that just walked in. Unless you're very advanced, you're going to think, uh-oh, and be alert. You're seeing other selves. Other selves that could be dangerous. Thus, the human mind is glass darkly and always sees separation. Someone that's advanced, living with the still small voice, the same bikers walk in, and they instantly become still. And the voice says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And the bikers come up to order a sandwich, and they don't know why. They just feel an affinity with you. It's a different world we live in. It's called the kingdom. Now, you have to die to that personal sense that's living by a mouth and a mind. Paul says this so beautifully, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You remember? Lord God breathed his breath. Lord God, we know, is karma. World mind caused him to fall into a sleep. And never says he woke up until we get here to the New Testament, however many thousands of years later. Maybe hundreds of thousands. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now there's the whole thing right there. A living soul lives through his mouth and his mind. A quickening spirit stands still and receives the Spirit of God. Here are some of the first words that Christ Jesus, spoke to the disciples. You remember they were up in a high room, which means a higher state of consciousness. And he said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Isn't that marvelous? Now here's John's take. Huh. This is about receiving the Spirit. And now we know that it happens when we pray with our ears. All things were made by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's what happens when you first come to truth and you're looking to demonstrate an automobile or a house or a companion or a little peace between your neighbors. The light is shining within you, but you comprehend it not. He was in the world, the light, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See, they were praying with their mouths, with their minds, and they couldn't receive him. Oh, you might pray with your mouth, and if you have a lot of faith in those prayers, you may receive some healing. You may pray with your mind, and for a while that works. Then it stops, and you search around. What do I have to do now? You have to receive the still small voice, or the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You must find a way to step out of living that personal sense existence which lives by your mouth and your mind. And you must find a way to step into the vacuum and receive the Holy Spirit and live as the expression of God, as the Son of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I believe that they put an S on that, because they couldn't understand. There's one Son. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become that Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. When that happens, you are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. You are born of God. And the Word becomes flesh and dwells among you. And you behold the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John had a way with words, didn't he? Remind yourself when you sit down, I'm not praying with my mouth. And I'm not going to pray with my mind. It's scary at first. Feels like you're floating out in the middle of the ocean without a life preserver. I am stepping out of personal sense existence. I'm going to live by the Spirit, not by mouth, not by mind, but by my Spirit. You see, it's everywhere, isn't it? By my Spirit. Father, thy presence and rest. in a moment ye think not. I, the Spirit of God, pour into your consciousness, and you can feel me. I am real. And you can say, ah, now I understand. I live, yet not I. Spirit is living me. And it will guide you, and it will protect you, and it will supply you, and it will comfort you, and it will quicken your mortal body. This is the gift that God gave us at the foundation of the world. We forgot it. From the moment we were born, we had little trinkets to play with. We had little mobiles over our crib to poke at. Always something outside, a rattle, a pacifier, a breast, something to draw our attention outside. And we forgot the Father within. We forgot the Father that sent us for a purpose, so that we may show forth as the Son of God, God's glory, God's love, God's peace, God's supply, so that we may be a transparency for the Spirit of the living God. Thank you so much for drawing this out. This is something I will remember forever. I do not pray with my mouth. I do not pray with my mind. I pray with my inner ear. What a blessing. Thank you.